Dwight, thank you, and thank all of you for joining us together this morning in sweet hymns of praise unto our God. And, you know, God wants all of us to be pure in heart. And, you know, the heart is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, as long as your heart beats, you're alive. And when your heart ceases to beat, then you have experienced physical demise or death. Someone asked me not long ago, and I was getting ready. I told them to preach today on a heart-healthy experience. And Dwight is right. I appreciate you selecting songs that go along with our lesson today because your heart is so important. But why would you preach about a healthy heart in the month of April? Why not February? You know, everybody is... recognizes that the month of February is heart month. You go to the doctor, you get your heart checked, you ought to make sure your cholesterol is low and that everything is going just right. This morning, I really want to talk to you about heart-healthy Christians and how do we really become a heart-healthy child of God. We do, with Ben, want to welcome all of you, and we welcome the singing group Shine, that are here today. They did a great job last night, and I know that you're as excited as I am about hearing them sing again out in the activity building, and we hope you'll stay around for the luncheon and for that concert as well. Do you know what is in your heart? You know, sometimes people say, well, I have it in my heart. Do you really know it's in your heart? I know one thing for sure, and we mentioned it just a few minutes ago in our Bible class, that God knows what's in your heart. You've heard the old adage that God knows my heart, and He does. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. Now, the reason He knows everything about you is that He made you, and He fashioned you in His likeness. And I'm so thankful and grateful that He did. I'm glad that He made me like Himself, and He made me with an eternal spirit. And so when I leave this world, I'm only going to be with the God who made me, who fashioned me, who created me just like Himself. God knows your heart. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and actually chapter 12 and verse 24, that 24th verse says that, by faith you stand. And Paul went to great lengths to help us understand that we stand by faith in our hearts. In our hearts. You know, we ought to always be a people that stand up for God. In the book of Romans 6 and verse 17, the great apostle Paul would pen these words, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and being," listen, "He created you with a pure heart. You sold out to sin, but when you came back to God, you were immersed in water baptism for the forgiveness of your sin, and by the grace of God's saving power," Ephesians 2 verse 8 and following, "you became that child of God." You did. And how thankful we are today for all of you in this audience that are Christians, that are children of God, and those who will view this telecast over the internet all around our world. Please know that God does love you, and He is greater than our worried hearts. You know, isn't it amazing sometimes how worried we get about a lot of trivial and mundane things in life? We have to be a people that show our faith by our words. And, you know, the Bible says in the book of John 12, by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. That is, we need to make sure that we get our words right. It was a couple's second anniversary one time, and this lady said, "My husband sent me flowers at the office. He told the florist to write 'Happy Anniversary, Year Number 2' on the card. I was so thrilled with the flowers, but not so pleased about the card. Because instead of it reading, Year Number 2, it read, Your Number 2. How would you react if such occurred? Certainly not very happy. You know, it is important that we make sure that our heart is right with God. He is greater than our worried hearts. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. You know, when you look at the life and the times of King David in the Old Testament, who was the second king of Israel, who reigned for 40 years, you will remember that there are a number of things about David's heart that are so significant. He is the one who penned the words in the book of Psalms 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, the Star of David is still present today in many places. In the nation of Israel, it isn't uncommon to see this flag flying high. This is called the Star of David. And they honor him and they praise him. He was their shepherd king. And in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16 and 13, and if you want to read subsequent passages over in Psalms 26 and Psalms 51, you will find that God said that David is a man after my own heart. If the truth were known today, would you be men and women after the heart of God? Would you desire to be what God wants you to be? In Acts 13 and verse 22, and when he had removed him, that is Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. He said, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Now, not only does he say that he is a man after my heart, but he acknowledges why he is. And he says, because he will fulfill all of my will. Would God say that about you? Would he say it about me? It is so significant. But why? But why? Life really is a journey. And I think the Bible tells us how we can live and how we can enjoy the wonderful promises of God. And it is a result of fulfilling the will of God and developing a heart after God, a heart for God. You know, sometimes in our life, we focus on so many, many things. And I can tell you today, most assuredly, if you listen to people talk, they focus more today on the coming eclipse than they do God, who creates the eclipse. You know, God is so majestic. And by the way, my sermon tonight is entitled Spiritual Eclipse. I hope you'll be here for this lesson. I really do. But how do I become a heart-healthy Christian? And what do you mean by that? Well, you have to say, first of all, that David was a man of integrity. You know, you and I ought to be people of integrity as well. That is, we're going to be honest with God. We're going to be honest with one another. We're not going to let anything diminish the integrity of our own hearts. And in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4, the Word of God records this message. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart, and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you. And if you keep my statutes and my judgments, he says, then will I establish the throne of your kingdom of Israel forever as I promised. David your father saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. And it is true, isn't it? But it's all because of integrity. Integrity. People who keep their word. What they say, they mean. You know, we have so many people that say things today, they don't really keep their word. They're not honest. People always say, well, you know, used car salesmen are always dishonest, or lawyers are dishonest. You know, we have a lot of people in the world today in every profession that sometimes are dishonest. They are not people of integrity. They are not people of trust. They are not people of loyalty and commitment. Integrity is choosing courage over comfort, choosing what is right over what is fast and easy, and choosing to practice the values that we have within us rather than simply professing them. You know, we have a lot of professing Christians. I've noticed that. And I mean world over. We have a lot of people that talk a talk, but they don't walk the walk. They will tell you that they love God, but they never come to worship. They will tell you that God is the most important one in their life, but they sacrifice the worship of God to go play golf, to go fishing, to do just about anything, ball games. I mean, we could go on and on to talk about it. How much of a person of integrity are you this morning? You should speak with honesty, think with sincerity, and then act with integrity. David was a man after God's own heart. But secondly, it wasn't just the integrity of his heart, nor is it just the integrity of your heart. Your heart must be open to the will of God. Ben was jesting a while ago about the fact that we had some really great cooks in this congregation. We do. You have a pretty good, really, you really have a pretty good spiritual chef as well. I just wanted to remind you about that. But the openness of your heart, is your heart open to receive truth? You know what? We should never, ever be afraid of where truth may lead us. I had a friend that said that one time, and I picked it up in my own heart, and I thought, you know, that's exactly right. Sometimes we are so biased because we don't have an open heart to receive what we know to be true. But we must have an open heart. Now, a certain woman named Lydia, many of you may remember her, she was the woman who met with actually Paul on a riverside one morning on a Sabbath, and she was there with other ladies, and they were worshiping God. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. She worshiped God, and the Bible says, and I like this little phrase, it's so important because it is so true of all of us. The Bible says that God opened her heart. She didn't open it. God opened it. We have to throw ourselves at the mercy of God and say, God, open my heart. Open my heart to that which is right. In Psalms 26, in verses 1 through 3, King David would say, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord, and I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind. And notice what he says. Try my heart. Try my heart. There's a difference between your mind and your heart. Try your heart. Have you ever noticed how often the word heart resembles the word mind in the Bible? It does. The Bible says that we're to love the Lord our God. First commandment with promise is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, and he begins with that, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and Luke records that we're to add the word strength. But he says that we're to love him, and then the second is likened to it, that you love your neighbor even as yourself. Prayer is simply talking to God. God knows your heart, and he's not so concerned about your words as he is with the attitude of your heart. You know, sometimes people, when they come to worship, they don't come to worship with a heart that is open and ready to receive the will of God, but they come with closed minds. Sometimes when you talk to people about God, have you ever noticed how closed their mind really is? Well, David said, I want you to search me, O God, and listen to this. Know my heart, examine me, and know my thoughts. Would you be so bold this morning to stand before the God that you love and the God who made you and honors you and you honor to say, God, I want you to search my heart. Search my heart and examine me. Most of us probably would say, oh, God, don't look at my heart. Oh, God, don't examine me. I'm not ready for the examination yet. I'm afraid I would fail the star test. It's going to happen. Psalm 26 and 3, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Can you truthfully and honestly say that? David could say it truthfully. God didn't jestingly say that David is a man who has followed my heart. But there was something real significant about David's heart that was so important too, and that is the brokenness of his heart. You ever heard sometimes people say, boy, that just breaks my heart. That just breaks my heart. You know, there are a lot of things in life maybe that break our heart. Maybe the death of a loved one, or maybe someone in your family has terminal illness and it just breaks your heart. Or perhaps maybe a husband walked off and left his wife, or a wife left her husband for someone else and it just broke your heart. And things like that break a heart. It is so true. David experienced a brokenness of heart. In Psalms 51 and 17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite, listen to it, a broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. God wants your broken heart. You may be broken in heart this morning. You may be in this audience. You may be listening to the sound of my voice whenever and wherever it is. And I'm telling you this morning that if you have a broken heart, you need to take it to God. You need to take it to the Lord God. Is your heart right this morning with God? The Lord, our God, is merciful and forgiving. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9. And if God's prophet Daniel could see that, surely we can see it as well. In Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, we read that God's mercy is bigger than any of your mistakes. You know, I've seen people with broken hearts, and I've seen them say, well, I just believe that God can't really forgive my sin. I've committed so many heinous sins that I just don't believe that God can really forgive me. I'm telling you this morning that God can forgive you of any sin that you have committed. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Go back and read the catalog of sins over in the book of Romans chapter 1. And, you know, when you read those, or you read in the book of Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh, and he includes these words, and he says, in all these sins that people commit, and the such like, God can forgive, and he does. No wonder God would say of King David, I'm going to tell you, he made plenty of mistakes. We make plenty of mistakes. Before we chide David for making mistakes and committing sin, we need to perhaps look in the mirror at our own life and see ourselves for what we are. But then fourthly, there was something about David's heart that captured God. Stop and think about the magnitude of that statement. David is a man after my own heart. One of the things we see about David was the truthfulness of his heart. You know, sometimes people are not very truthful. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that in today's world, people are not very truthful? That's true in the political arena, isn't it? People tell you one thing, you know that they're lying. Someone said you can always tell when a politician is lying. His lips are moving. And so true. But we see people that lie today. It doesn't bother them to lie. They cheat. They lie. They don't speak the truth. One of the great words that describe our Lord Jesus is that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is called in the book of Revelation in the closing chapter, the true and the faithful. David was a man who was truthful in all things. For in Psalms 15, 1 and 2, he actually talks about his truthfulness. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your hill? He who walks uprightly, that's integrity, and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. You know, sometimes people spin truth. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes when they don't want to tell you the truth, they spin it a little bit. And we got a lot of people who spin the truth. You know what? Here at the Crocodile Church of Christ, we don't spin the truth. We send the truth to those who need it. But fifthly, last of all, I can tell you one thing for sure. There was a holiness about King David that enables us to learn how to be a heart-healthy Christian. Because he was holy. You know, we sing the song, but how holy are you? You ever heard someone walk up to you and say, well, who are you, holier than thou? Well, I hope we're a lot holier than a lot of folks out in our world that live ungodly and immoral lives. I hope we are. We should be. And we can be proud of being able to say that. That doesn't mean that you're arrogant. It doesn't mean that you're rude. It doesn't mean that you're conceited. It means that you serve a holy God. Isaiah said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we sing that great hymn. But how well do we live it? How well do we live it? Psalms 24, David says, who may stand in his holy place? Back comes the answer. Listen to it. He who has clean hands and a pure heart before God. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 11 and verse 45, the word of God simply says, be ye holy as I am holy. Be holy like God. Be holy. Jesus said something about that as well. But we sing it, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Be ye holy. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, your words, your life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holiness. Let me ask you this morning, would God see you as a holy person? We think sometimes coming to worship makes us holy. Sometimes we say, well, I read my chapter today. I ought to be holy. Or maybe you might say, well, you know, I've been praying to God every day about this particular issue, and that makes me holy. I'm telling you, that does not make you holy. What makes you holy is that you become a vessel to be used by God. That's what makes you holy. And that's what David did. He made himself a vessel to be used by his God. One of the things that's so important is the fact that David was a person who was mature in heart. How mature are you in your heart? What does that really mean anyway? A mature Christian. Mature. We ought to be, but sometimes we're not. It involves the perfection of our worship. Think about his worship unto God. Think about all the great songs that he wrote, and that's what the book of Psalms is all about, isn't it? Every one of them he even wrote on occasions under an alias name. Lexicographers tell us that. Think about the perfection of his walk. He walked perfect in every way, or the perfection of his witness. Spiritual maturity is so important. If you don't think it is, go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and the early verses of chapter 6, where the Bible says that we're to go on to perfection, and that means maturity. When you think of David, oh, I always think of him as a man after God's heart. The fidelity of his heart. Think about it. You know, we don't hear much about fidelity today because there's not a lot of it. And that means, as we were singing a moment ago, true-hearted, whole-hearted, faithful. That's what we're talking about here, folks. Fidelity of heart. My servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all of his heart to do all that was right in my sight. He was making every effort to live for God. You know what? That's what we have to do. And a lot of people don't do that. Someone asked me not long ago, and they were talking about whether or not come to worship. They said, do Sunday nights count? I said, what? He said, you think I'll go to hell if I don't come on Sunday night? I said, I think you'll go to hell if your heart isn't right with God. You answer that question. That's what we've been doing on a Sunday morning in our Bible class here in the auditorium, dealing with the rhetorical questions that Jesus asked. Didn't answer, but he left it up to those who heard it to follow it or to walk away from it or answer it. Wearing a cross does not make you a disciple. Carrying the cross does. In the book of Matthew 16, Jesus said in verse 24, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life would lose it. And he that would lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. You can either follow your heart or follow the heart of God. If the truth were known this morning, could you follow your own heart? In the book of Acts chapter 8, Simon certainly couldn't. For he said, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, and pray that the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. We must be a church after the heart of God. I've preached it for years. You want a church that's strong and vibrant and active like this congregation? Let's be a church after God's heart. People on earth hate to hear the word repent. But you know what? Those people in hell wish they could hear it again. But the Bible says to repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, Acts 3 and verse 19. Isaiah 44 and 22 says, I have swept away your sins like a cloud. Isn't that wonderful? I have swept them away. I have scattered your offenses in the morning mist. Return to me. I have paid the price to set you free. And I can tell you this morning, you can be a heart-healthy Christian because God has set you free. And God this morning will take your sin once you confess it and ask God to forgive you and place it in the depths of the sea. He will lock it in the vault of His grace. It will never be opened again. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God, you need to think seriously about what we've said this morning. And ask yourself this question, is thy heart right with God? Is it? We're going to sing this great hymn of invitation, and if you're not an obedient Christian, you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, we always give people an opportunity at the close of every service to do just that. You know, sometimes people quit offering the invitation. And you know, if you quit inviting, people will quit coming. We believe that you invite. It's up to those who hear to come. And we pray you will this morning to confess Jesus and to be baptized. Or if you're a child of the King, the Most High God, and you're ready to make your relationship right with your Master, will you come while we stand and as we sing?